John chapter 1, Joshua chapter 1, and 1 John chapter 1, and I think those will be the only places we'll go to this morning. If you don't have the scripture with you, I'll read it out loud. This is not a salvation message this morning, but I've noticed one thing. All of the songs this morning have been salvation messages. All of the hymns and the special this morning were all salvation messages. So in a group this size, there is no doubt that there is someone that is not saved. In other words, if you were to die right now, if you were to die right now, you are not 100% sure that you would open your eyes in heaven. The Scripture says to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord, if you're saved. If you're not saved, to be absent from the body is to be present with your sin, and all sin will be cast in the lake of fire, which burneth forever and ever. When I was about 4 or 5 years old, somebody took me to a church just like this one on a weekday. It was actually on a different island from the one we were on. And I heard somebody preach a message on the subject of salvation and hell. And I was messing around. Well, I wasn't paying any attention. I was 4 or 5 years old. And the preacher said, everybody bow your heads. And he said, if you need to be saved, raise your hand. I saw somebody raise their hand. I raised my hand. Just messing around. And then the preacher looked right at me. And I said, oh no, he saw my hand. He saw me raise my hand. And he said, if you raise your hand, come forward to be saved. And I thought, well, I'm already in trouble. He saw me. I raised my hand. I might as well follow through with it. And so I came forward and we kneeled right here and he took me through the plan of salvation. He said, I know I'm a sinner. I know Jesus died for me. I want to spend an eternity. I do not want to go to hell. Lord, I don't want to go to hell. I know I deserve to be there. You died for me on Calvary's cross. Take me to heaven when I die. And I prayed that prayer. But salvation's not in a prayer. Salvation's not in the act of standing up and walking forward. If you could do that, he didn't need to die. If you could walk forward, he didn't need to die. If you could pray, he didn't need to die. Clearly, he needed to die. And I hadn't accepted that. I had walked forward. I was messing around. I had prayed a prayer. If that's you this morning, you say, I've been baptized. I've joined the church. The Scripture says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but by His mercy, He saved us. There's a lot of works involved in salvation. He's done them all. And they were works you cannot do for yourself. Have you ever let go and said, I need to be saved? You know what happened is I went through that whole process. I was laying on bed one night. We were over on the island in the Pacific, right on the equator, so it was hot. And I'm laying on the top bunk, and I'm sweating at night. Lights are off. Nobody's around me. And I'm thinking, I bet hell's hot too. And I'm going there. And I cried out there, 4, 5, 6 years old. I don't know how old I was. I couldn't tell you the year. I couldn't tell you the month. I couldn't tell you the date. I couldn't tell you anything. But I remember that moment. You know why? Because I was born again. And someone had led me. Someone had told me how to do it, but I hadn't made a decision to do it. But laying on that top bunk, I said, God, I know I'm going there. And I know You died to save me from there, and You can save me from there. God, save me. Come into my heart and save me. Take me to heaven when I die. And He saved me. It's a free gift of salvation. I was talking to somebody yesterday on the street corner, and he said, I know that Jesus died for me, and I'm trying to live my best for Him. And I said, you see that box over there? I said, let's say that's Jesus dying for you. You know it's there, but you've never gone over there and picked it up and made it yours. And you're trying to live for Him. You're trying to do what He already did and offered. It's a free gift. Here it is. There isn't. Don't strain your neck or your back. There isn't. But let's say there was a $100 bill tied underneath your seat right now. There isn't. Don't hurt yourself. There isn't. But let's say there was $100 taped under each and every one of your seats. You know you could walk out of this building and never have picked it up and taken it with you? Does that mean it wasn't there? No, it was there. It was yours, but you had to take it. The Scripture says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He's done all the work. Through His blood, He's paid the debt. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, he that believeth on the Son, saith he, hath everlasting life. You know, there's a church that teaches, it's called the sin of presumption. To say that you can know you're saved is a sin. You can't know you're saved. You know what they're trying to do? They're trying to stop you from getting it. And if you have it, they're trying to stop you from knowing you have it. You know what this Bible says? These things were written that you might know that you have eternal life. I know I have eternal life. Now, I believe, like Paul believed, that I'm the worst sinner in this room. Because I know all my sin. I don't know all yours. I know all my sin. I know the sins I've committed today, yesterday, the day before that. I'm not worthy of it. But I'm in Him. I'm in His Son. He placed me in His death, burial, and resurrection. I have the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. My unrighteousness is His filthy rag. It's not a competition between you and me. It's a competition between you and a holy God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If you're in here this morning in a group this size, there's at least one person that is not saved. And I wouldn't have said anything, to be honest with you, if it wasn't for all the songs this morning have been salvation-based. The hymns, everything was, somebody needs to be saved this morning. And if that's you, He's the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And if He's putting His finger down on you, that's what He did to me that night on my top bunk. He put His finger down on me. He has to draw you. No man can, I can't save you. I can't make you be saved. I can't strong arm you or pressure you. I can't do it. You have to be spiritually quickened. So when the Holy Spirit puts His finger down on you and says, you must be, this is it. This is what, I'm not telling you to be a better person. I'm not telling you to join a church. I'm not telling you to be baptized. I'm telling you that I paid for your sins and you've got to reach out and take it. And when He does that, you know He promises to offer everybody that once? Once. He doesn't offer it tomorrow. Grace is only available in the moment, today. If that's you this morning and He offers you or is telling you that the one thing you need is to be saved, He'll save you and then He'll be with you through all of eternity and through all of life. It's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth it. I wouldn't want to be alive and not know that when I die, I'm going to heaven. I wouldn't want to be alive and think I might open my eyes someday and be in hell. It's just not worth it, all right? Especially when it's a free gift. All right, Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. Your pastor, Steve Leafley, one of the last times that he read through the Bible, maybe last year, a couple years ago, something like that, I think he still reads the Bible. He wrote down only mentions. I don't know if he said anything to you guys about that ever, but he and I would talk about it sometimes, and this is the only use of this word in the Bible. This is the only time this word's used. The word success only appears one time in the Bible, and it's in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. And so we're going to talk about success this morning in a unique way. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, and I will read all the scripture we look at this morning out loud. Joshua 1, 8. This book of the law, this is God speaking, Moses is dead, and Joshua is taking his place, and the Lord is speaking to Joshua. And the book that Moses wrote, in verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And then thou shalt have good success. I want to have a successful existence. As a husband, as a father, in my vocation, in my calling, in my gifts, in what the Lord has saved me to do, I want to be successful in doing it. I want to have a successful life. We're told of the judgment seat of Christ, and we're told of the, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I want God to say that to me. I want Him to say, I gave my son for you. Now, I come from a military family. Sarah's brother, my brother-in-law Todd, was my best friend growing up. He gave his life in northern Iraq, spent 4 years in the Marines. We lost many people when I was over there, guys that I spent the night with, you know, talking and all that kind of stuff. The next day, we're off into eternity. I understand the idea of somebody giving. Those are gold star families. You see a gold star out in front of somebody's house, that means somebody in their immediate family gave their life for our freedom and for our country. And so if you have, maybe if you have a neighbor or someone in your neighborhood and they have a gold star out, say something to them, you know, Memorial Day type of thing. You know, say something to them like, thank you, know, I recognize that and thank you. All right, that's a sacrifice. My God gave His Son for me. He ought to get something back. And I want to be successful. I want to stand before Him. But you know, I don't want to try to swallow a camel. I don't want to today try to have a successful life or year today or month or week. I just want to be successful realistically. I struggle being successful today. Hymn 299, not your hymnal and ours. Right. Verily, verily was 214 in ours. I have all these numbers in my head. But hymn number 299 in our hymnal up there is day by day. And with each passing moment. John Westover comes here and sings that sometimes with his guitar, sings day by day. And with each passing moment. Listen, I'm not going to try to swallow the camel and try to eat the whole thing of being successful in my life when I struggle in the morning. To be successful in the morning. When I struggle in the afternoon, to be successful in the afternoon, that thou mayest have good success. Notice it does not say for your whole life. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8 is that thou mayest have good success today. 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 And David and Daniel, very successful people, a man after God's own heart and one of the most righteous men in the Bible according to God, broke up their days into threes. Morning, noon, and night. Those guys that were successful in their life had it broken down to the morning. Lord, I need You this morning. You know what? I think it was Fanny Crosby. I always misquote this thing, so it probably wasn't her, but somebody said, the morning dew is gone away by noon. That's not talking about the actual do. It's talking about the time that I got up this morning and I spent time in the Word of God and I meditated on Your words in the morning. By noon it's gone and I need to do it again. I'm going to have a successful life. I'm trying to have a successful morning. I'm going to have how to have a successful existence. How to be successful on Tuesdays. How to be successful on Saturdays. This lesson is how to have a successful day. You know what the Lord says? He says to walk with Him. You know what a walk is? It's a step followed by another step. Followed by another step. You know, I've failed many times in my relationship with the Lord by taking one step and saying, Lord, I'm walking with You. I don't know why You didn't do X, Y, and Z. I took a step. One step is not a walk. A walk is a step followed by another step, followed by another step. Now I'm walking, and I'm walking with Him. What this is talking about is being successful on Sunday, being successful on Tuesday, I don't know the days of the week, being successful on Wednesday, it's being successful in my life. How can I be successful in my life if I fail today to be successful? And God has a pattern of success that applies to a grandmother, as well as it does to a 14-year-old boy, as well as it does to a military man, as well as it does to a pastor, as well as it does to a single 21-year-old at school, as well as it does to a dad. Now, I'm a little selfish. I think about myself when I think about these things. I'm a husband. I'm a dad. I'm a brother. I'm a son. I kind of think about myself and I say, Lord, I want to be successful. Then I need to learn how to be successful today. Notice what it said there. It says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Then you'll have good success. If you're successful today and tonight and tomorrow night and the next day, and the next night. And like I said, David said, early will I seek thee. E.M. Bounds wrote on prayer, he's a prayer warrior, and he said, never speak to anyone until you've spoken to God first. In other words, when I get up tomorrow, before I deal with my wife on something, and I wanted it to be done that way, and she did it that way, or this or that, or I want to say something good to her, or I don't want to say something bad to her, if I've spoken to God before I've spoken to her, it's going to help me in my speaking with her. If I've spoken to God before I preach, if I've spoken to God before I deal with my children in chastening or correction or instruction, if I've spoken to God before I've spoken to my employer, If I'd spoken to God before I deal with my Haman in the workplace, if I'd speak to God first, it's really going to help me before I speak to somebody else. David said, early will I seek Thee. Morning, noon, and night. Morning, noon, and night. Morning, noon, and night. Daniel prayed in the morning, prayed in the afternoon, prayed at night. You know what helped him be a success in his life? Successful daily. Daily success. I want you to notice that word success, the only time it appears in the Bible, and it's referred to as good success. Good success. God is a word user, very particular in His word use. So when He attached the word good to success, He attaches the word good in the Bible to Him. To Him. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from above and descendeth down from the Father of light, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. The word good appears and is a tied to God. All right, so it's success in God's eyes. Remember when they came to Christ and they said, good master. And He said, why callest the Lord Jesus Christ, why callest thou me good? There is one good, your Father in heaven, God. He's the only good one. See, the Bible attaches the word good to God, and then it attaches the word good to success. So it says it's success in God's eyes. You might not be a success in my eyes. You're not accountable to me. I might think you're a bad mom. It means nothing. The whole world might think you're a total failure. You know who else they thought was a total failure? Christ and the apostles. He didn't even live to be 34. He never sat on a throne. He was homeless. All of His followers were decapitated, hung upside down, tortured, killed, or died in a prison on an island somewhere. They thought He was not a success. So what is it if they think you're not a success? The world might say you're ugly. The world might say you're ignorant. I'm being as nice as I can be. The world might say you don't smell good. The world might say you don't have nice things. The world might say you're not cool enough. The world might say you're not with it. The world might say you're a loser. The world might say you don't have it. If you're a good success, in other words, a success in God's eyes, who cares what they think? You ever heard the illustration, imagine if LeBron James were to sell all his money and go live for the Lord. It's already happened. You've probably heard of the missionary C.T. Studd. Yeah, it's cricket, and we don't think much of cricket, and it's the 1800s, and we don't think much of the 1800s. But he was as wealthy as LeBron James is today. C.T. Studd had that much wealth. He gave away three lifetimes of wealth in England and was a world-renowned cricket player, which at that time was like the NBA today. He basically was a LeBron James, and he gave it away to be a missionary to India and to China and Africa. He went to a few different places, I think, and he gave it all away. The world would say he failed. He didn't maintain, make the most of what he had. You know what God says? Not only is he a success, but I'm going to attach him to my kind of success. He's a good success. Good success. You know, you can have bad success. You can have bad success. You know, Cain successfully built an empire away from God. You don't get four chapters into the Bible and you find an anomaly where man does not think like God does. His ways are above our ways. Cain comes to God and God puts a curse on Cain and says, I want everyone to know you disobeyed me, and puts a curse on Cain. And Cain says, God, if everyone knows I disobeyed you, no one will want to be around me. And then he goes and has to build a city for all the people that want to live with him. And he calls the whole land after his name because of how big of a celebrity he is. When people realized that guy disobeyed God, they wanted to be around him. They chose him over God. He says, no one will want to be around me. God, you put a curse on me. Then he has to go build a city for all of his followers and the family that's around him. He was a success. Cain was a success. Now, those of you that know your Bible, if I were to ask you, was Cain a success? You would have said, no. He murders his brother. He was cursed of God. He's not a success. In Jude 11, he's used as one of the three examples, Cain, Korah, Balaam, as one of the worst type of spirits and attitudes anyone could have, and one of the end time spirits. And there's no way Cain is a success. In this world, he was a success. Balaam, with a lot of getting around his donkey and an angel and trying and this and that, and found a way to curse Israel after God wouldn't let him do it over and over and over again. He found a way to get Israel to sin. Balaam, a false prophet, got his payday. He got his payday. He was a successfully false prophet. Remember Jacob and Esau? Esau sold his birthright. Jacob got it. And then Jacob runs from Esau because he stole his birthright and lied and did all this kind of stuff. And then Jacob comes back, and because he's a deceiver, he puts together a huge train of gifts. Cattle and gold and all this kind of jewelry and all these kind of things, and sends them ahead of him to give to Esau. Esau, the one that God says, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated, gets those gifts. And you know what Esau's response was? I don't have room for it. I have so much stuff already. I can't take it, Jacob. I can't take any of your cattle. I can't take care of all the cattle I already have. I've got too much stuff. Esau was a success. The book of Hebrews opens our eyes to some of the bad attitude and some of the failure of Esau, and says that he was falsely repentant, and he was contrary and an enemy to God. Romans says God was at odds and in contention with him, but he had so much stuff he couldn't take another lamb. In other words, you can be a success and not, God's looking down going, you have done nothing. You've accomplished nothing. Solomon in Ecclesiastes says, gathering all these things is vanity. Seeking everything under the sun is vanity. There is a success that is not a good success. There is an accumulation that is actually a bag full of holes. There is to have and to not really have for eternity's sake. There are people that are going to stand before the Lord and say, Lord, I've cast out devils in your name. Lord, I've preached sermons in your name. Lord, I've accomplished all these things. And he said, you've done nothing. There is a success in man's eyes. There is a way to succeed. I mean, my kids are being raised in a third generation Christian home. They know how to be a success in an independent Baptist church. I don't want them to be successful in our eyes and just be putting on and cleaning up the outside of the cup. I want them to be a good success. I want them to be a success in God's eyes. You know, Judas successfully betrayed God's son. Would you say that's a good success? No. He successfully got to the Lord where no one was around at the night, where there would be no crowd to defend them, and he successfully had his payday of 30 pieces of silver, and he successfully betrayed the Lord. You might be sitting here this morning going, I've got everybody fooled. I'm succeeding. They think I'm saved. They think I'm a Christian. I know what Bible to point to. I know what standards to possess. I know what things to say. I know when to amen. I know the words of the songs. I know the numbers of where they're at in the hymn book. You might be a success. But unless you're a success in His eyes, you're not a good success. Not how to have a successful life or existence, just how to have a successful day. I'm just going to give you 3 points. I'm only going to really spend any time on one. But I want to give you the other 2 points just for you to take and chew on. And I think you're smarter than I am, you know your life better than I do, and you have a good walk with the Lord. You'll be able to take what I'm saying and allow the Lord to use it with you in a way that I just never could. So I want to give you the 2 points, but I want to focus in on one. Number one, faithful. Faithful. Stay faithful to what God has told you to do today. If you do that, today will be a good success. If you figure out, and again, this was a message the Lord gave to me, If I figure out how to be faithful to what He has told me to do, not from my life, today, just today. And I personally, to be honest with you, I break my day up into fours. I really do. I'm a mess. All right, I try to be successful at night. I go to bed when He wants me to go to bed and get up when He wants me to get up. I try to be successful at my night. And then in my morning, I try to start my day when He tells me to get up and what He tells me to do in the morning. And I try to be successful in my day and in the afternoon and at night because I find myself, I had a really successful morning. I read my Bible, I prayed, and then in the afternoon I have an awful attitude. I'm bitter, I'm thinking about all kinds of negative things. And I started my day as a total success and I didn't get 6 hours into it and I have totally failed. So you might be able to break it up into a whole year, into a whole life, into a whole... I have to break mine up. I take a lot of thought into my night. I do. I'm a mess. I put a lot of thought into my night because if I don't do my night right, my day is not going to be right. If He wakes me up at 1 o'clock in the morning, my question is always, why? I better be a success right now at 1:08 in the morning and do the right thing right here, right now. You know, I'm a mess like that. I'm constantly thinking, how can I be a good success? What do I need to do right? Be faithful to what He's told you to do today. Be faithful to what He's told you to do today. There's an odd dynamic that takes place where you grow up in your house and you go to kindergarten and for the next 13 years you're in school. And maybe you go to school after that for 1 year, 2 years, 4 years, 6 years, 8 years. All of a sudden you're 25 and there's no after this. When I'm done with, kindergarten, I'm going to go into junior high, and I don't know how it works, middle school, and then junior high, you might be a genius, junior high into high school, and after that I'm going to go to college or the military or technical school or trade school or this or that. I'm going to do that, and then you find yourself in your mid-20s, and you're like, well, there is no after that. This is the rest of my life. I'm getting up, I'm going to work, I'm doing these things. There's no more after that, and so you've just got to realize that you can't live your whole life in one moment. You've got to be able to be successful today, and the only way to do that is to meditate upon the Word of God, morning, noon, and night, for me, all the time, and you've got to keep to those things so that you'll be able to do those things. You've got to be faithful to what God has told you, not for your life, not for when you're in school. Well, when I'm in school. Well, when I have a family, I'll be a faithful person. Well, when I have a wife, I'll be faithful to my wife. Well, when I have this, when I have that, not tomorrow, not after school, not when you're in junior high or high school, or not when you're a grandparent, not when you're retired, not when this, not when that. When I get to heaven, I'll do all these things right. No. Today, be faithful to do, D-O. Be faithful to do today what God has laid on your heart to do. And when you put enough days together, you'll find out you had a successful year. A successful year in God's eyes. That might be a success that finds you with, you might find yourself, I've got a good friend, sits right there in our church. He's a chemist. He's a PhD chemist. I go to him with all kinds of questions, especially in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. All right, he's a PhD chemist. You might find yourself a success in the world's eyes too. But you might not. But whatever He leads you to do. But you've got to be faithful to do what He's laid before you today. You've got to be faithful to do what He's laid before you today. You know, it's required in a steward that a man be found faithful. You've been given gifts I don't have. That's why I'm here today, to try to get some of it from you. That's why we assemble. So that what I'm lacking in, you have. What you're lacking in, I might have something, all right? But I'm here for something. You know, I might be the clown or whatever. I don't know, but I'm here to make you laugh. You know, I'm here for something. All right, you have something I don't have. I have something you don't have. Iron sharpens iron. We fill in each other's gaps. I might be a pinky, you're a hand, and we get together really well, all right? And it works out. So you're something, I'm something. We all come together so that we get what God has given. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only person that had the Spirit without measure. Each and every one of us have the Spirit with measure. And so I'm lacking in something. I need you. I need you, all right? We need to come together and have that. And we've each got to be faithful in what we've been given. I've been given a wife. I've been given a 6-year-old and today a 3-year-old. Turned 3 today. I've been given a 6-year-old and a 3-year-old. I've been given a job that I have. I've been given neighbors that I've been given. I've been given, I need to be faithful in what I do. With them, I need to be faithful in what I do. Daily. Daily. If I failed yesterday, what does that have to do with today? If I failed for 10 straight days, what does that have to do with today? If I failed for the last 40 years, what does that have to do with today? I'm going to be a success today. I'm going to be faithful in doing, D-O, in doing what His Word tells me to do. Number one, just be faithful to do what He said to do. A faithful man shall abound. A faithful man shall abound. Number one, just be faithful. Number two, just be fruitful. Be fruitful today. Be fruitful today. If you find anything in your life that is the fruit of the flesh, Galatians chapter 5, that's not the kind of fruit we want to be, right? We're walking in the flesh, walking in the Spirit, and we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. So what do? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, patience, goodness. I want to be fruitful. If I'm fruitful today, I used to have a rule, it's become a habit now, I'm not perfect at it, I try to do my best, that I do, since we got married 19 years ago, when we got married, alright, I will do one thing today that is self-sacrificial, going out of my way for my wife. I will do one thing, I will be fruitful as a husband today. I'll be fruitful as a husband today. What about being fruitful as a soul winner today? Telling somebody about the Lord. It might be a saved person that just needs to know the Lord loves them by shaking their hand or singing next to them or something. But being fruitful. It's easy to be fruitful on Sunday when we can put money in an offering plate. We can tell somebody about the Lord. We can sing a song. We can be fruitful. Tomorrow I want to be fruitful. Tuesday I want to be fruitful. And if I can put together a string of 7 days and come back in next Sunday and I've been faithful every day and I've been fruitful every day, I'll have a whole basket. Stay fruitful. Stay fruitful. Not just Galatians 5, 22 and 23 of the spiritual fruit. But John chapter 15 says if you abide in the vine, you'll be fruitful. You won't even have to try. If you abide in the vine. So that brings us to our third and final point of how to be a success today. How to have a successful day. Not in the world's eyes, not in all those things, but good, godly, good success. Be faithful to what He's told you to do today. Not yesterday, not for your whole life. Be faithful to what He's told you to do today. When you don't know what else to do, take the next step of faith between you and God. And it's not going to work out, but we don't live by sight, we live by faith. Be faithful in what He told you to do today. And number two, be fruitful. Abide in the vine. Be fruitful. Have those, the works of the flesh. That's not the kind of fruit I want. The works of the Spirit. Now I'm in the Spirit. Love, joy, peace. How can I express this and manifest these good, fruitful things? Maybe I can tell someone I'm praying for them. Maybe I can send a card or a text to that lady that's having a surgery tomorrow. I can do something today. Nobody even knows that you prayed for that person. But you did it and the Lord will reward it someday. You were fruitful today. Don't let 24 hours go by and not have spent some time in encouragement and fruitfulness and kindness and telling somebody about the Lord or praying for somebody. I was fruitful today. That'll help you sleep at night. And the best way to stay fruitful is to abide in the vine. So number three, stay in fellowship with the Lord. Stay in fellowship with the Lord. And that's 1 John, and we'll be real quick with this and we'll be done. Just want you to notice this verse here in 1 John. 1 John chapter 3. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8 is a sister verse in your Bible. In other words, it's designed the same way. And they go together. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, I'm giving you the words of God. I'm giving you what the Lord said. And if you stay true to these words, you'll have good success. That's exactly what John is saying in 1 John 1, 3 and 4 here. You could take the same wording that Joshua said in Joshua 1, 8, I'm giving you my word, and if you meditate in and do these things, then you'll have good success. It's worded a different way, but he's saying the same thing in 1 John 1, 3. Look at 1 John 1, 3 and we'll be done. 1 John 1, 3. Be faithful to what He's told you to do. Be fruitful and stay in fellowship. 1 John 1, 3. That which we have seen, not just Him, but what He did. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. this book of the law which Moses gave to you. It's the same thing. What Moses was told from the Lord, he gave to Joshua. And if Joshua does the things in that book and meditates on them, then he'll have good success. That which we have seen, declare the book unto you, that ye may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, that's good success, and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. You know what another way to say what I just read in 1 John 1, 3 and 4 is? This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein to do those things and day and night, and that thou mayest have good success. These things which we have seen, we declared unto you, and if you meditate on those things and if you do those things, then you'll have full joy. And you'll have godly, you'll be right with the Father and right with the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll have fellowship. You know what the key to joy is in spite of the circumstances of life? The Son. The Son. Being in fellowship with the Son. Having Him. If I stay in fellowship with the Lord today, it might cost me you. You might not like where the Lord leads me or how the Lord leads me. But I'll still have Him. Take the world and give me Jesus. You guys sing that hymn here? I don't know. It's a good one. Take the world and give me Jesus. How about I'd rather have Jesus than anything? That's a good, I love that song. I'd rather have Jesus than anything. If I have fellowship with Him, listen, if I go to work tomorrow, and there's some people that would love for this to happen, and they fire me. If I go to work tomorrow and they fire me, and then on my way home I have a flat tire, and then when I get home half the house is burned down, and then there's a plumbing leak and the basement's flooded, and all these things. But if I have the Lord and I'm in fellowship with Him, that God refers to that day where I lost my job, and I lost my house, and I had a flat tire, and then the spare one has no air in it. If God's referring to that day as a good success, if I was faithful to what He commanded me to do that day, and I was fruitful and walked in the Spirit and not in the flesh, and I was in fellowship with Him every step along the way, that day, while it might not be a success in my flesh, I don't want that to happen tomorrow, and it's not a success in the world's eyes, it was a day that was a good success. And if I turn around and do the same thing Tuesday, now this is going to take some work. I'll tell you, in my personal life, I have to get back on track a lot. But I did well Sunday, Monday and Tuesday, and then Wednesday I just got off the rails. And sometimes it's very logistical. I've got to start getting up at this time instead of this. Sometimes it's just very logistical. I've got to change my diet. My sugar is just throwing me off. Sometimes it's very logistical, but that thing is costing me my fellowship with Christ. Sometimes I've got to say, that phone has got to be turned off. That computer needs to be unplugged. It's wireless. Then it needs to be shut off. All right, that TV needs to go. Those friends that are getting in between you and Christ, what's worth more, them or Christ? Who gave their life for you? That social circle or Christ? What matters more to you, getting a buzz or Christ? What matters more to you, loving your wife and being faithful to her or Christ? What matters more? How to be successful. Not in the world's eyes, but with the one that gave His life for you. Number one, you can't be successful or have a good success if you're lost and you're a child of the devil. And the lust and the desires of the devil you will do. You've got to be born again. You've got to be saved. Now that you're saved, you're a steward, you're a son, you're a servant, He's got something for you to do. He's given you gifts. How can we be successful in them? I don't know about you, but I'm so weak that I can't try to be a success in my whole life. I've got to break it down to every day. Every day. And I've got to stop every day and go, okay, what do I need to do today to be a success between me and God? And I'm so weak, I've got to break my day up into four quarters. And I've got to say, what do I have to do? I've got to be faithful to what He's told me to do today. I've got to be fruitful between me and Him. And anything, I mean anything that gets in between me and my fellowship with my Father and with my Savior, anything, I've got to maintain my fellowship. And ultimately, it's going to be me that falls. A just man falls 7 times and rises again. If I can change the scripture, this just man sometimes falls 700 times and needs to rise again. Stay in fellowship. Let's stand, every head bowed and every eye closed. Sarah,